We're going to read from Philemon this morning, and I'll be reading the whole chapter. Better put my glasses on. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meet in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I heard about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who had become my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place and help me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I do not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done anything wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hands. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confidence of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I invite Pastor Jack to come up as he leads us with the preaching of God's word.
Thanks, Phil. And we're going to get to another Phil, Philemon, in just a moment. Before we do, a couple of things I just wanted to mention. Phil mentioned the Caples coming, Reuben and Sian, and their little baby Ravi, and they'll be arriving on the 14th of January, so we can look forward to that. Originally, they were going to be quarantining for a couple of weeks, but looks like that won't be necessary, so that means we'll see them even sooner, which is great. And I have also mentioned previously that I'm currently organising a group for Reuben to lead, to prepare people for profession of faith. And if that's something you're interested in, then please come and see me sometime or send me an email, a text, whatever you like, and we'll add you to the group. We've already got two. We'd love to have a few more. And Phil also mentioned our voting for office bearers. It's going to happen next week. If you're not going to be here next Sunday, voting slips, absentee voting slips are available today. And you can grab those after the service from Andrew, our office administrator. So see him if you'd like to have one of those. But also note that we'll be sending an email out tomorrow, and you'll be able to do an absentee vote in response to that if you prefer. So watch out for that. So we've just read the entire book of Philemon. And as you know, we've recently completed our series from the book of Colossians. But what you may not know, if we can grab the slide up there, What you may not know is that Colossians has a very close connection to this little book called Philemon. You see, Colossians gets its name from the city and thus from the church that was within that city, that is Colossae. And this second letter, it actually gets its name from one single person, a man called Philemon. But what we need to realize as we look at these two documents is that Philemon actually lived in Colossae. He was part of that church. We know this because the letter isn't only addressed to him, but in verse 2, you may have noticed that it was also addressed to Apphia, who was probably his wife, and to Archippus, who was probably his son. And Archippus was one of the people who was greeted right at the end of Colossians. But we also know it because one of the deliverers of that letter, we were told at the end of Colossians, was Onesimus. And in verses 10 to 12 of this letter, Paul says it's this same man, Onesimus, who he is sending to see Philemon. What seems to have happened is that the apostle wrote his longer letter to the whole church, but then he also included a short note to this one man. And it's this note that we're looking at this morning. And I think it's really quite amazing, isn't it, that we have this, that we have access to these very personal thoughts from one man to another, written so long ago. But even more amazing than that is the fact that these thoughts still have so much to teach us here today. So why did Paul write separately to Philemon? Well, we discover that the reason is twofold. First of all, Paul wrote to him with a very particular commendation, an encouragement, if you like, for this man. And secondly, he wrote with a very particular appeal, or if you prefer, a request to make of this man. And so we're going to start with the commendation, which we find in verses 1 to 7. And if you have your Bibles, please keep them open to this letter. You'll see in verses 1 to 7 that the letter begins opening in the usual way. It says that it's written by Paul, who's in prison for the sake of Christ, and he's there with his faithful helper, Timothy. It says that it's addressed to Philemon, primarily. But as I also already mentioned, he also greets Apphia and Archippus, and also the whole church that meets in their home, which was probably part or even all of the Colossian congregation. And then he wishes them grace and peace from God the Father and the Son. But then Paul begins the body of his letter, and he says this. He says, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers." So clearly there's something admirable about this man Philemon, something to thank God for. And Paul wants to tell him about that. Paul wants to commend him. So what does he give thanks for? Well, first, and we see that in the second half of verse 5, he gives thanks because he has heard about Philemon's faith in the Lord Jesus. And that's where it all begins, isn't it? That's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about being good or following rules. It's not about rituals or ceremonies or traditions. It's not about buildings or cathedrals or denominations or hierarchies. It's not about giving money or serving in ministries or standing up for causes. It's not about doctrine or theology, or cool leaders, or worship styles. No, my friends, at its very heart, Christianity is quite simply about faith in Jesus Christ. It's about recognizing that by nature we are very far away from God and incapable of living according to God's will and utterly worthy of His judgment. It's about confessing that we can do nothing to make this terrible situation right. And it's about putting our complete trust in the only one who can make it right, the Son of God. For Jesus is the one who came to live the life that we never could. and to take the punishment that we deserved. And so it's about believing God's promise that he gave Jesus to take our place, to be our sacrifice. And so in him and in him alone, we can find cleansing from our sin. We can find righteousness in God's sight. We can find joy and peace and meaning in life. And we can find a certain hope of an eternity in heaven. That's what Paul thanked God for when he remembered Philemon, for his faith in the Lord Jesus. And Paul reminds us in verse 6 that this faith is communal. Sometimes people like to say that faith is a personal thing, that you keep it all to yourself. But listen to what Paul says. He says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing that we share for the sake of Christ. You see, these glorious blessings that we have in Jesus, absolutely everything that we could ever want and need, they are the very same blessings who are given to every true believer. And so we want to share those blessings here in the church so that we might grow deeper in our understanding of just how wonderful these things really are. But as we've also heard in the organic outreach video, we want to share those blessings. We want to share them outside the church with those who do not have them and with the urgent desire that they will receive them, that they will turn to Jesus and be saved. But I have to ask you, like Philemon, have you too put your trust in the Lord Jesus? Are we able to thank God for you because you too share in this wonderful faith that leads to every blessing in Christ? You know, maybe not. Maybe you're here today and you're new to Christianity. You're only learning about it for the first time. Well, if that's you, then I want to urge you today to consider Jesus carefully, to see that in grace, he gave his own life on that cross so that you can be reconciled with God. I urge you to stop trusting in worldly things, to stop trusting in yourself, and instead to put your hope in Jesus. Or maybe you're not new to Christianity, but yet you've never made that leap of faith. Perhaps you're young and you've grown up in the church, maybe grown up in this church, but you still haven't received Jesus into your own heart. Or perhaps you're older, but you're still resisting the call after all these years. You know, God gave his own Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. And so I want to plead with you today, don't put it off any longer. Give your life to Christ. Or maybe like me, you have already discovered that there is no other way. No other way to be freed from the guilt and the power of sin. No other way to enter into an intimate and fulfilling and everlasting relationship with the Heavenly Father than by faith in Christ alone. And if that's you, then let us give thanks to God for the awesome blessings that we share together. But now going back to verse 5, we find that faith is not the only thing for which Paul commends Philemon. For he also gives thanks because he's heard about his love for all God's holy people. And Paul makes it clear that these two things, faith and love, are so very closely connected to each other. You cannot have one without the other. For while faith is at the very heart of Christianity, so is love. As it says in 1 John chapter 4, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so love is the completely natural result of salvation in Christ. It's the primary virtue that God's people express toward each other. But I ask you, what really is this love that Philemon is commended for? Well, my friends, it's that all-encompassing concept that captures the idea of caring deeply for your sisters and your brothers in Christ. It's the attitude that puts others before yourself and your own desires, actively seeking to do whatever you're able to for another's good, and doing so even when it comes at a cost, and even when the other person doesn't deserve it. For love, my friends, is not a feeling, but it's a decision. It's an action, and it's a way of life. And do you know just why it's so important and why it's so powerful in the church? Well, listen to verse 7. Paul says to Philemon, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." And you know, I think those last few words are just superb. Such a beautiful image. Philemon was a man who lived in such a way that his love refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. You see, my friends, belittling someone never did the church any good. Ignoring someone never did the church any good. Holding a grudge against someone never did the church any good. Gossiping about someone never did the church any good. Hating someone never did the church any good. Complaining about someone never did the church any good. Being angry at someone never did the church any good. But loving someone, well, that's a completely different matter. For Paul, in love, tells Philemon that his love has given him great joy and great encouragement. And he tells him that that's because his love has refreshed the hearts of others. So what do you think? What effect are you having on other people? What effect does your attitude and your speech and your behavior have on your church family? Do you prefer to bring others down or to build them up? Do you like going out there looking for faults or do you seek out the positives? Are you an expert at discouragement or at encouragement? Are you a grumbler and a criticizer or are you a refresher of people's hearts? Friends, we are called as people of faith, people saved by Christ, to love His church, to love each other. Not in a pretend way, maintaining a Christian facade, not in a selfish way, expecting always to get something in return, not in a guilty way, trying somehow to earn the approval of both God and man, but rather in a genuine, sincere, and heartfelt way. Knowing that as a person who has been saved by the love of God, that you can do nothing less than love as He first loved you. And so may our love show itself in the way we listen to each other and serve each other and visit each other and support each other and smile at each other and inspire each other, and mourn with each other, and help each other, and praise each other, and pray for each other. Like Philemon, may we give others great joy and encouragement, reviving, restoring, and rejuvenating their very hearts. And so that's the first reason why Paul wrote this short letter, this note to Philemon. He wrote it to commend him, to tell him that he thanks God for his faith, but also for his love. But now the other reason why he wrote was to make a very specific and important appeal to this man. And now we're looking at the rest of the letter from verses 8 to 25. For what Paul does next is he effectively says to Philemon, "Well, Philemon, you're a man of such deep faith and of such great love, And so I'm going to call upon you to live out these things in a very real but also very difficult situation. And that situation involved a man who I mentioned earlier, a man called Onesimus. For what I didn't mention earlier was that Onesimus had in fact been Philemon's slave. And we see that in verse 16. Now we've already seen that Philemon was a faithful, loving Christian, and so we can only presume that he had done the right thing by his slave. But Onesimus, on the other hand, was not a Christian, and he'd not done the right things by his master. For a start, it seems that he'd not been a very satisfactory worker. Paul says in verse 11 that he'd been fairly useless to his master. On top of that, verse 18 suggests that Onesimus had also stolen from Philemon, a grave crime. And then to make matters even worse, verse 12 shows us that he had also absconded. He'd run away with the spoils. And in those days, that was an extremely serious offence for which a slave master could demand the death penalty. So that's what had happened. That's what had happened in the past. But Paul also tells us there had been development since. For while Onesimus was on the run, it seems that he had made his way to Rome. And in Rome, he had encountered the Apostle Paul. And as a result, he'd also encountered the gospel. And this man's life had been turned right around. For God had worked in his heart. And he had repented of his sin, and he had put his faith in Jesus. And as a result, he too had become a Christian. But not only that, but he'd become a very close and valuable associate of Paul himself. In verse 10, Paul says that Onesimus had become like a son to him. Verse 11, he says he'd become useful to him. Verse 12, he says, Onesimus, he is my very heart. Verse 13, he says he'd like to retain him as his helper. And in verse 16, he says that Onesimus is just so, so dear to him. And so while he had once been an unbeliever and Philemon's useless, thieving, runaway slave, he had now become a believer and Paul's useful, reliable, beloved companion. But as you can imagine, this left Onesimus with an enormous dilemma. For while he had made things right with God, he had not yet made things right with Philemon. But yet he knew in his heart that if he went back, that his master would be very, very angry and may well have him executed. So what was he going to do? Well, this is why Paul makes this impassioned appeal. And now that we've pieced together the background, I hope it makes more sense. In verse 8, Paul begins with the word therefore. What follows flows out of what he said earlier, the fact that Philemon is a man of faith and of love. And he goes further, he says, although in Christ I could be bold and order you what to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. And what is Paul's appeal? He says it is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. This appeal, he says, is in relation to this horrible, unresolved issue between you and your slave. And then Paul explains why it is that Philemon should consider his appeal. He says, Onesimus, he became my son while I was in chains. And formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. Paul says he may well have been a godless, bludging absconder, but he's changed. He's changed. God has changed him. And now he's living up to his name because Onesimus means useful. And then Paul points out that both he and Onesimus are taking action to make things right. From verse 12 it says, I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent so that any favour you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. And then Paul gets to the very heart of it. For he says, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. And so Paul's appeal is that when Onesimus returns, that Philemon would welcome him back. And not just as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. But just stop and think about that for a minute. Paul's asking Philemon, a man of standing, to accept this lowly slave who'd committed crimes against him and treated him like rubbish. He was asking him to forego his right to punish and instead to forgive his crimes and to forgive his debts. And he was asking him to welcome him with open arms, to reinstate him, but more than that, to elevate him, to treat him as a brother in Christ. Now that's a big ask, isn't it? Do you think you could do it? Do you think you would respond to Paul's request? Just imagine if someone treated you like rubbish. Or perhaps you don't even have to imagine. Maybe it's happened. Can you forgive and treat them like a brother or sister in the Lord? Well, we could only ever do so, couldn't we, on the basis of love. For just as God loves us, despite all the terrible things that we have done to him, just as Jesus loves us enough to bear our sin on his sinless shoulders upon that cross, so we are called to love each other, even when it hurts. But notice that Paul also commits to do what he can to make it happen. In verse 18, he offers to pay back Philemon for anything that Onesimus owes. And then he finishes his appeal with these amazing words. He says, I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And I don't even know what that more might be. Maybe Philemon would even adopt Onesimus as his own son. Earlier on, Paul gave thanks for the way that Philemon had refreshed the hearts of others. But now he appeals to him to also refresh his own heart by welcoming Onesimus back. And Paul is so confident that Philemon will do so and that he will do even more than that, that driven by faith and by love, that he will go above and beyond. And thus Paul concludes his note, asking Philemon also to prepare a guest room for when he is released and sending greetings from himself and his companions. But now the final question is, what can we learn from Paul's appeal? Well, I think the basic lesson is that there is actually no point in saying that you have faith in the Lord Jesus and love for his people if you are not prepared to demonstrate it in real and concrete ways. If you're not willing to exceed the normal expressions of love and instead to go above and beyond. And so I want to ask you this morning, are there situations in your life where you are failing to live out the faith and love that you claim to have? Like Philemon, is there someone in your life who you need to forgive? Someone you need to reconcile with? Or are there people who you often criticize and grumble about? Or are there people who you could help or care for, but you're choosing not to? You're ignoring them. Or are there ways that you could serve, serve others, but yet you always say no. Just as Paul appealed to Philemon, so I want to appeal to each and every one of us here today. Sort out that situation. Deal with that sin in your life. Repair that relationship. Change that attitude. Do whatever it takes. And in fact, do more than that. Go above and beyond for the sake of the church and for the sake of the Lord. My friends, this is just a short letter, but it teaches us so much. And so I want to urge you today to seriously consider its message to you. May we indeed be people with a strong faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we indeed be a people who live out that faith in love for God's people. A love that is real. A love that is powerful. A love that goes above and beyond. And a love that refreshes the heart. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this insight into the personal relationship between Paul and Philemon. And Father, we pray that we might not just find it interesting, but that we might respond to it today. Lord, help us to remember that at its very heart, Christianity is about faith in Christ. And Lord, we pray for any who might be here today who does not yet have that faith. Lord, please stir them by your Holy Spirit that they may see both the depths of their sin and the height of your grace demonstrated in the cross. And for us who already believe, Father, please make our faith strong and resilient. But may it also be a faith that reveals itself in love. Lord, we know how easy it can be to do the opposite, to not care, to not help, to not encourage. But Father, we pray, please work in us that we might learn to care for each other deeply, to be ready to help each other out, to forgive each other, to pray for each other. And Lord, we pray that as we do so, that the world might see the difference the gospel makes in our lives. Lord, please use us to refresh the hearts of others today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.